There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Reminder, text line, phone line open for you at 251-343-0106. And that talkback feature that's on the app when you're on the front page of the app, which if you haven't downloaded it, just search for FM Talk 106.5 on the App Store or on Google Play. Download the app. But when you're on the front page where you're streaming or getting all the podcasts, you'll see a microphone icon. If you'll press that, you can leave us a message and we can play it back here on the air. Maybe it's not today, but it's going to come in handy at some point, so be ready for it. All right, inviting back onto the air as we continue our discussion, the folks that we talked to before the primary that are now in runoffs, and the runoff for Mobile County District Court Judge, Chris Callahan, joining us again. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean.
I guess we got to go back. I always do this, and you're probably tired of this as a candidate, but the civics lesson of the job of Mobile County District Judge. What does a Mobile County District Judge do?
A district court judge in Mobile County does a lot of things. One of the things that they do that probably is on everyone's mind is district court judges set bonds in felony cases. District court judges hold bench trials in misdemeanor cases and traffic cases. And that's a very important thing that district court judge does. District court judge holds preliminary hearings in felony cases. But in addition to that, the district court judge has a lot of contact with the general citizenry of Mobile because district court judges handle civil cases.
Right. So you could be doing like a criminal case one day, and then you're going to also be tasked with judging a civil case.
That's correct, in all sorts of civil cases. So district court judge has original jurisdiction in all unlawful detainers. What that means is it's landlord-tenant law. If somebody needs to be evicted or someone needs to evict someone or a tenant is not being treated fairly by their landlord, those cases have to come before the district court. There's no other court that has original jurisdiction. That's the one place they have to come is the district court. And there's something called the Alabama Residential Landlord-Tenant Act, and I've handled over 200 of these cases as an attorney and as a judge. I've handled several of these cases as well. But that's one of the types of civil cases, all small claims cases. So you have two citizens, generally no attorneys involved. Those citizens are in front of a district court judge telling their dispute. They want to be heard. They want to be listened to. They want to know that the judge who's hearing their case has practiced the areas of law that they're there on, whether it's a dispute with a contractor or a dispute with a neighbor or a business dispute or a contract dispute or even non-small claims cases like car wreck cases. I've even seen a dental malpractice case in district court.
That's a variety.
But a lot of civil cases that impact the general citizenry who are not there on any kind of criminal matters.
Right.
And when you're in those cases, everybody that stands before a judge, criminal, civil, doesn't matter, circuit court, district court, municipal court, they're going through something. Whether you're charged with a crime, whether you're there because somebody rear-ended you and you've been injured and somebody doesn't want to pay your damages, or you had a contract with somebody and they breached that contract, you're going through something. And so by the time, especially in these civil cases, it can take a year or two just to get to court. By the time you're there, you expect that to be handled that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I've been a judge for almost 4 years now, and I'm one of the judges who I like to make decisions from the bench. When I make my decision, I don't hide behind what are we going to do. I don't say, hey, I'll get you a ruling out. I make decisions from the bench because I know those people are ready to resolve their case. And I want to make a right decision so that they don't have to appeal their case to the next court and then start all over.
Right.
I mean, they've been going at it for years. They need to have it handled.
Yeah, think about this. As a judge, you're dealing with people now, and you running for office where you would continue to deal with people on their a bad day happened, and now they're getting their day in court. You started off in law enforcement, and you know, folks I talk to that are law enforcement, I'm like, it does kind of stink that, you know, you really end up having to see people on the worst day. I mean, if the police are there, it's probably not a good situation, right? So you started in that. You started as in law enforcement.
That's correct. I started actually in the jail, then became a patrolman, then a field training officer, then a patrol supervisor, eventually went to major case and became a detective, and eventually became a homicide detective. So,
talk about bad days.
I've seen a lot of people having bad days. I've had to walk hand in hand with the victims of crimes and help them through the entire process. But everybody's going through something. But whether you're a police officer, whether you're an attorney, whether you're a judge, you are there to help people. That's what we do. That's why I've been drawn to these types of professions, is I just love to help people.
Yeah, but I think about it takes special people, whether, you know, from patrolman level to a judge. It's like, it's bad. Does that wear on you? How does that, in your time in law enforcement, your time in the judicial branch, does it, is there ever those, you driving home in the evening, is just, it's heavy on you, or?
Yeah. All the time.
Is it?
All the time. So just yesterday, I sat all day, and I had to put people in jail. And anytime you take somebody's liberties away, really, they take their own liberties
right.
away. My intent is not to put anybody in jail, but people put themselves in jail by the decisions they make. And so bad people go to jail, mm-hmm. and they have to. But even as a police officer, I've seen 14-year-olds with bullet holes in the back of their heads laying across railroad tracks. I've had my own officers have literally been shot and killed and died in my arms while I was trying to do CPR on them. So, yeah, those things weigh on you when you're going home, but you just have to really keep a strong faith in God and have a good, you know, a good family to go home to, and
I just think
just
about
be
that.
Grounded.
Yeah, I just think about that for y'all, because when somebody goes, well, the copier didn't work today and they didn't get the such and such document filed, compare that to people that work in law enforcement or you know, work in the judicial branch. It's just, I think it's an interesting comparison. Whenever you think you're having a bad day, think about what folks like you have dealt with in a given day. It puts things in perspective for the rest of us. I want to talk about here in leading up to the 21st and the runoff vote. What are you telling? You're in a runoff here. John Williams was also in this race with y'all. He did not make the runoff. What are you saying to John Williams, people that voted for John Williams? This is interesting. Other than, I know you want to probably say your people got to come back out, show back up in the full numbers. But what do you say for somebody who voted for John Williams and didn't vote for you last time? What are you telling them?
Well, first of all, just regarding John Williams, let me say, and I know him very well. We are dear friends. He ran a great race with integrity and just a great, very honest man, and was proud that he was in the race. As far as his voters go, the most simplest thing to do is say, hey, guys, guess what? Your candidate, John Williams, has supported me and is endorsing me for this race. So I need your vote. I need you to come out. John Williams told me long before the primary even happened that if he did not make it, that he was going to be my biggest supporter. And he has followed through with that. So I would just say to John Williams voters, please do not sit at home. Do not think, well, our candidate didn't make it. This is still a very important race. Be a part of the process. You've been a part of the process already. You came out, you voted in the primary. Continue to be a part of that process. We live in a representative republic, and because of that, we need to elect our representatives,
mm-hmm.
and even our representatives on the court, because these are the people who are going to be, you have to go before if you're going through something, as we talked about earlier. So please come out on June 21st, and I humbly ask for your vote. If you're a John Williams supporter, if you are a Chris Callahan supporter, even if you voted for anybody else in the race,
mm-hmm.
but you're listening today and you say, you know what, I like this guy, I think I'm going to vote for him, please come out and vote. It doesn't matter who you voted for in the primary. You can always vote Chris Callahan in the runoff.
All right, Judge, I can't finish this up without look at the screen here. And I see, without even reading individual text, I see the word bond. It popped up here.
Sure.
So, and once again, for folks, just a little factoid, even though we've talked about Anaya's Law so many times, that still won't be, we won't see that till November as a constitutional amendment that goes through. But in the meantime, there have been some things done. Is there a, Are we gonna maybe not fix this completely, but is it getting better? And will we get better keeping people from going right back out and committing crimes? You know.
I sure hope so, because we have over 300 people out on bond for murder right now.
For murder? I mean, it's not jaywalking.
No, Judge, not jaywalking. That's right. And it seems that when we see people shot night after night after night, yep, in our own community, that a lot of the time it's somebody who's out on bond for another violent crime. This cannot happen. This cannot happen. I, as a police officer, as a homicide detective, I have seen firsthand when violent people stay out of jail, what it can do. More violence occurs. And so I will do everything within the law to keep violent offenders in jail. Thank God that our Alabama Supreme Court recently increased the bond for murder from $150,000 to $1,500,000.
And people didn't know that. When that came out, I told folks it's now at 1.5, but it was at what?
$150,000 was the top bond a judge could issue.
The top bond on the... It was a jaw-dropping moment for
that's
the
right.
judge. For the most heinous crime.
That's right. And I actually have been endorsed by our Chief Justice, Tom Parker. I'm the only candidate who went up before the primary and took the time. I spent 2 days meeting with him. And I strongly encouraged him to see what he could do about not only increasing the bond for murder to $1,500,000, but for attempted murder, for armed robbery, mm-hmm, for rape, for, you know, violent assaults where people are injured. It's not just murder. I mean, there are more violent crimes than just that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a Nye's Law is great, but until we get a Nye's Law passed, and hopefully we do, we need more teeth to our bonds and our bond schedules. Judges' hands are tied to an extent by the law. Judges have to follow the law. However, there are things judges can do, and I don't mind doing them, to take violent offenders now and keep them in jail. For instance, the top bond on an attempted murder is $150,000. Okay. Why can't that be all cash?
You can make that decision.
I can look at the record and say, you've got so many prior violent felonies. You the facts of this case are heinous. You know, you were found with a gun or a knife, mm-hmm, or a weapon. You know, I've seen people strangle people and trying to kill, just all sorts of stuff. At $150,000 bond for $15,000, they're out of jail. But $150,000 all cash bond, they've got to come up with $150,000,
the whole thing.
Yeah. So there are other conditions that can be placed on them, but other than just the monetary provision. But it's so important to me to keep my family. I've got 3 kids. I've got a grandson. I want to keep my family safe. I want to keep your family safe. The only way we can do that is to keep the violent offenders where they belong, and that's behind bars.
If people want more information, to read up on your campaign, where do they go?
They go to www.electchriscallahan.com, and Callahan is Callahan, or they can go to Facebook to Chris Callahan for Mobile County District Court Judge. And if I could say one more thing,
sure,
before we leave, this, I have tried cases, both jury trials, bench trials, in all the courts. Now, we don't have jury trials in district court, but I've tried trials in district court. I've done bench trials and jury trials in circuit court. I've tried cases, both civil and criminal cases, in federal court. I've been up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on cases. I've represented plaintiffs. I've represented defendants. I've prosecuted cases criminally. I've defended cases criminally. Every aspect that the district court sees, I've done. I don't need any on-the-job training. I'll be ready to go from day one. I'm already a special district court judge, and I'm able to have been able to handle these cases already, and I can hit the ground running day one with no training.
Glad to have you back on, and good talking with you, and we'll look forward to the 21st.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, Judge Chris Callahan, our guest right here in Midday Mobile, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Friday. glad to have you here. And, why don't you all say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I was thinking about this. So I have been a longtime customer of Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. They are like my gift solution. You know, I can call ahead, get ready, gift items, check them out, and get checked out fast. And that's what I love. But there was that day that I was a first-time customer of Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So let's take it back there. Let's go in the time machine, Angelo, and talk to folks that might not have been in before and kind of what the process is like.
Man, now you're making me think way back to the first time we all met.
Yep, a long time ago.
It's been a minute.
Yes.
It's been a minute. What was that, 2009?
Yep, absolutely.
Jeez, man. I don't know about you. I mean, you're still getting young, but I think I'm getting old.
I wish. I got a birthday coming up, a big one, so yeah.
But that being said, you know, you're right. Somebody's a first-time customer, first-time buyer of precious metals, first-time investor. There's always that first time you're doing that, you're a little unsure, you know what people keep telling you, you think you should do, you get on the internet and you get saturated with ads on, you must do this, you should only do this, and they give you all those absolutes, and we're not like that. We want you to come in, we want you to learn and understand, we're going to talk to you about all the different products and different options, because let's be really blunt about this, if there was one perfect gold thing, one perfect silver thing for everybody, then that's all we would have to purchase.
Yeah.
That's all I would have to sell you. It's like, this is the thing you've got to have. But it's not that simple. There's constitutional silver. There's 1 ounce rounds. There's 100 ounce bars. There's all these cool collectible things, the pop culture stuff. So the first thing we want our customers to do before they spend money is come in, talk to us, ask questions, check out the inventory, check out the variety, and then maybe go home and sleep on it. Talk to your spouse, your loved one, your friends, your mentor, and say, hey, I'm getting into this. I thought about these things. Which way should I go? Then come back, maybe talk a little bit more and do your buying. But we actually recommend people don't just jump right in and start spending money, but try to learn a little bit first.
In addition to, we got the Father's Day holiday, Father's Hour, Father's Afternoon holiday coming up. Gift items, ideas, just thought starters for people?
Man, the open L knives are great. The 1 ounce silver engravable rounds are great. We've got some nice gentleman's jewelry pieces in stock right now. We've got all sorts of cool pop culture silver pieces. I mean, everything from Star Wars to Disney, you name it. If you've got the budget for it, we've got some beautiful $20 gold pieces. And those are $20 in denomination from the 1800s, not selling for 20 bucks, just to clarify that right now. But, you know, beautiful collectible coins. I mean, right now, we were checking the other day, we've got over 12,000 different items in stock right now in our inventory file. So we got a lot to choose from, Sean.
All right. Tell folks how to find you online in the real world and talk about that radio show.
Yeah. Real World, Midtown Mobile, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com, of course. You can also follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. The radio show is Two Guys and Some Change, runs every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m., right here on FM Talk 106.5, and you can also catch it as a podcast. Just go wherever you listen to your podcast and look up Two Guys and Some Change, and you can follow us there.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, sir.
All right, see you soon. There he is, Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Before we get to the news here, this is a story on our Facebook page coming in from Fox 10. Says a former officer with the Mobile Police Department is locked up in the Washington County Jail. Current officer is on administrative duty status after firing his weapon during the overnight incident leading to arrest. Now, this is what's come in here. They just updated this. Said police said the former officer, Robert Harris, attempted suicide by encouraging an officer to shoot him. The Mobile Police Department said that about midnight, Mobile Police Corporal Raymond Grissett was driving home in his department-issued vehicle traveling northbound on Highway 43 near John Johnson Road in McIntosh. He observed a male subject, later identified as Harris, in the roadway and attempted to change lanes when the subject intentionally struck his vehicle. Police say that Grissett turned around to investigate and was assisted by a McIntosh officer who was responding to the location involving the same suspect. Said Harris was erratic and combative while making suicidal statements and refused officers' repeated commands. Harris continued to demand the officer take his life and produce an object from behind his back. as if it were a weapon, according to police. Police say the McIntosh officer deployed his taser, which had no effect. Grissett then fired his weapon twice but did not strike Harris. Harris fled from officers, hurling himself into uninvolved passing vehicle. Officers pursued and deflected Harris's intended direction, which resulted in him colliding into a convenience store where he was taken into custody. More of this story on our Facebook page, but it's evolving as the show is going on. We'll talk more about this before we wrap up. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, Friday style. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for like 14-plus years now. In other words, you got junk, you need it gone, you need Trey. Here's how it works. It could be small stuff like the boxes in the attic. It could be cleaning out a storage room. It could be getting rid of a whole storage building in the backyard. It could be, you've got the full swing set and pool system, and your youngest child's in graduate school. Maybe it's time to let it go. Let Trey and the crew move it. It's very easy. Make that appointment. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're going to find a day that works for you. They're going to find a window time that works for you, and they set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up. You just point at the stuff you want gone. They quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So maybe schedule something for next week. Get that junk gone. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. This is great. This is probably the first time ever on Midday Mobile for this, and hopefully it won't be the last, to bring candidates for Eagle Scout in on the show. And John Shell joining us from Troop 147, which if I didn't mess up 147 back in the day, it's still a viable thing, and it's good to see it here and good to see it still flourishing. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on here.
And, Dad, are you going to chime in, or are you going to be quiet on this one? Are you going to be?
It depends on if you want me on or not.
So it's Dad. It's Jeb. It's my buddy as well. Eagle Scout projects, no matter what, to me, are special. A big believer in scouting, big fan. But when I found out about your Eagle Scout project, I said, well, that's like the coolest one ever. There's like the old, we're going to, redo a playground. Those are fine. Those are good. But they've been done before. You have the most unique Eagle Scout project I've heard of. Tell me how you came up. What is the project? How did you come up with this?
So the project is we're building 100 of these mini artificial reefs. You get to put them out on your wharf, and it filters out water. I came up with it one time during a troop meeting. We were talking about fishing and fishing reefs. And so I looked into it. I researched in about it, and I found a biologist in Florida, and he designed a reef that would grow oysters or barnacles or filter feeders on it.
Right.
They put it out in Florida, and it cleared up all the canals and made fish come back to them.
Yeah, you were talking like dead-end canals down in Florida, right, where you don't get the water movement, and so you don't have – and it gets pollutants in there, or gets sediment in there. These – I was looking at the pictures on the website. They cleans up.
It does. It makes it very much clearer than before.
So this is more like when we talk about reefs. So, we're all fishermen. We talk about reefs, and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's, I'm going to give you the GPS numbers to go to a snapper reef, or we're going to go catch trout on a spot. But this is different. This is something that people are attaching to their docks or to their wharfs or anything like that, right? It's going to attach to their property.
Mm-hmm. It'll be attached right underneath wherever they live.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be out in front. You can still swim off the thing or bring the boat up.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
In fact, it actually thrives. You need to have it underneath the wharf because it protects it from the sun as well. So,
okay, so, so that's not a...
four pylons, and that way it floats underneath, and it's underneath the wharf.
So, because people would think that would be, it doesn't get sun, but that's actually what it needs is to have that shade.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so how does this magic work, John? What's happening here?
So once you put it in the water, oysters or barnacles start to attach to it.
Okay.
And after a while, after 6 months, the whole entire thing is probably full of them. And for one reef, after a year, it'll filter out 11 million gallons of water.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Because we're just giving more surface area, right? So if you think about that dock, we had the pilings are there and maybe something else that have barnacles and things growing it, but there's only so much. Looking at these reefs, and I want people to go to the website. Is it Eagle... Reefs, what
is theeaglereef.com?
There we go. See, John knows it. Theeaglereef.com. If you'll go there, and I'll put a link up, you'll see this has more like square footage or more surface area, right?
Yeah, That's the whole deal about it. It's not like pylons that are just this little circle area. It's multiple levels of a big surface area.
Let me be number one, selfish is better water quality. But number two, I mean, we all like to fish. I mean, you got pictures of fish hanging around these things. A little bit of a fish attractant?
Yes, they are nurseries for all of these kinds of fish. And it brings them to them so you can, one day, maybe you could fish off your wharf and catch speckled trout.
This is a good thing. What are they made of? What is the construction in?
They're made of corrugated polypropylene, which is like campaign signs.
Oh, we got a few of those around.
Yeah. And also like crab trap rope. So, and PVC pipe. That's
pretty. So this is all stuff. Okay. This is not like crazy components from something. These are things everybody can picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but they're put together. I want folks, once again, to look at the website, but it's like it's stacking, or how do you, it's like quadrants in it?
Well, there's multiple layers to it and multiple, like, campaign signs, yeah. If you would, and the ropes are tied around it so that it holds them together while keeping them apart.
Okay. Yeah, that's what, Jeb, you were saying you tie them off to the four pilings, or?
Yeah, it's made to go up and down with the tide. And so it goes up and down, and you tie them off on four corners, and it'll just rise up and down with the tide, and it floats just right above the surface.
Which is like the Goldilocks spot for these things to be.
Another important thing about it floating is it keeps it off the seafloor, and the oyster drills can't get to it. And that's some of the magic of it floating and not being affixed.
Okay, so this is somewhat like the idea on the commercial producers, right, that they have raised up where they're growing oysters up off the bottom. And
yes.
And so you get a better chance of having oysters grow when they're not connected to the bottom.
You see all these people have like big dangling things from the top of the water, but this is not going to be as extensive as that, but it'll be a way for people, everyday people that have wharfs, to increase the fish in their area and increase their water quality.
Yeah, and once again, that number you rolled out so easily, John, how many millions of gallons? What do we...
11 million gallons of water per year.
So I mean,
for one reef.
And so we think if those things are deployed, I don't know. I mean, if there's a dock count or a wharf count around here, that could be a lot of water.
Yes. The plan is to get 100 of them out. So if all 100 of them out after a year, it'd be 1.1 billion gallons.
See, John's very smart. It's still, those math skills escape me at age 50. So, I was looking too, the names of the people that are working with you and have a blessing on this. You like got the all-star team of, yeah. When you start talking about our marine environment around here. Who all do you have on board?
We have Commissioner Chris Blankenship, Colonel Steve Bannon, Director of Marine Resources, Dr. Sean Powers, Head of Marine Sciences Department at South Alabama, and William Strickland of the Mobile Bay Keepers.
This is you've assembled quite a team. If those people are signing off on it, it's a good thing. Now, you mentioned this project, because this is interesting. Once again, this is not the old, like, we're going to redo, nothing wrong with those Eagle Scout projects, we're going to redo the playground, but that it just affects one place at one time. You're biting off a big piece here. You're tackling a question about water quality around here with your Eagle Project.
Yes, it's mainly supposed to be a coastal Alabama thing, so that the wharfs and the water of coastal Alabama would be better, and there'd be more fish for people to fish off.
Yeah, in conversations I've had with some of the people you just named, and like my friend Ben Raines, and that it's almost a snowball effect. As you said, 100, and we talk about where it could go after that. But once 100 get going, it makes it better, and more gets better, and the whole system works better, right? It's like a catalyst effect.
Yes. So the first 100 that we plan, after that, we are planning on. We're talking to a local nonprofit about maybe doing a 1,000 reef challenge.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So this is also interesting, too. As an Eagle Scout project, it's interactive. So you're doing this thing. You've got this website. Once again, we're going to post this up, but it's the...
EagleReef.com.
I hope you all are looking at it, seeing these devices. But folks can get involved in your Eagle project, right? So if I'm interested in putting one of these under the dock down at Dolphin Island, what do I do? How do I get involved?
Well, you can go to the website, okay. First of all, and you can sign up to... Donate. You can sign up to.
Can I get a reef? Yeah. How do I? Because I want one. Okay. Let's get cut to the chase. I want one. So let's walk me through the process of getting one.
So website.
Okay.
You can donate to receive a wharf.
Okay.
And which is around a $100 donation.
Right, and the value is higher, but there's been some subsidy. If we get in now, we're getting something that's hundreds of dollars for $100.
The original value of these, because materials are really expensive right now, the original value of the reefs is $300 to
$400.
Okay. And so I've gathered some money from local foundations like Heron Chandler Foundation and Hargrove to subsidize the cost of 100 of them to 100 per reef.
Okay. So we get, let's talk about this. People do this, we get the 100, then we're going to go to 1,000?
That's the plan.
Okay. And I'm going to have you back in then.
Yes.
So, great work. I'm glad, obviously, being an Eagle Scout candidate, but what a unique and great project. And we'll continue to talk about it and get that website linked up, and I'll get signed up. And can you deliver mine?
Yes.
See, I put a little pressure on you there. Very good. Great work. John Schell, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Y'all check it out. We'll put that link up on the Facebook page, and I'll put it on Twitter here in just seconds. And be right back as we wrap it up on a Friday, as we'll talk to the folks from Taylor Martino. And remember, Paul Feinbaum show on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And my guest back in studio, Eden Barnard from Taylor Martino Rowan. Good to see you.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Lot to talk about here, but as we talk about the, you and I were talking before we went on the air about the worst day in somebody's life. You know, we talk about that when somebody comes to see you, I hate it, but they're not coming to see you because something great happened.
That's exactly right.
I mean, something that was bad enough that they've now contacted an attorney.
Right. That they are most of the times somewhat desperate.
Yeah.
They have suffered a severe injury. They can't work. Most people are not prepared to be out of work. They haven't saved to be out of work. And they really are looking at the lawyer to be their guide and to counsel them through it and get them through it.
People listening to us now that had something like that happen to them that through no fault of their own, and it could be, we can talk, could be product, could be situation, whatever, that they now have limitations of lifestyle or earning ability, but they may not think they have a case, right? This really stinks. This is really horrible. But they may not have thought the next step of, like, how did this happen?
Well, you're exactly right. Unless it's a car wreck where there's just, like, absolute liability, where somebody gets rear-ended, which still can sometimes not be absolute liability, they're almost always worried that whether or not they have a suit. And then what are you going to do about it? And how can you do something about it?
I mean, it could be. So, yeah, I guess that's a good point. Most people think car wreck and saying that can definitely happen. But we do a lot of other things than drive the car every day.
Sure.
There's a lot of things we do in life and at work, and people get hurt.
Yeah. I met with a young man yesterday who fell off a ladder that slipped out from underneath him. He'd been on ladders hundreds of times. He knew about ladders. When we got into it, when I asked him, well, why did it fall? He didn't know. Until I found out that it wasn't his ladder. And unbeknownst to him, even though the feet looked normal from looking down at him, but they were missing, one of them was missing the rubber grip sole, so that when he got on it, it just shot out from underneath him. He had no idea that he had a case or whether or not there was anything to do about it.
And this is a person through their injuries that he can't work now.
No, broke both of his arms.
So that's what I'm saying. That's not a car wreck. That's a different kind of situation. Because I guess we think car wrecks, and then we think there's also the injuries from big companies, right? And these are maybe make more news than these, you know, a ladder slips or something like that. But those get attention as well. A company sometimes has been shown knowingly has a product or has been part and parcel to just kind of sweeping the dust under the rug on something, and people get hurt. People lose their lives in some cases.
Well, it's like the 3M cases that Ed's handling.
These are the ear protection, y'all, if you hadn't heard the discussion before.
Right. When we roundtabled the discussion about those cases, I was shocked at the evidence that a company like 3M would, gross to even call it design, because they just apparently got a kindergartner to design these earplugs.
Ed told me at one point that there was one of the kinds of earplugs that actually made it worse than not having earplugs at all.
I think that's true. And then when they finally, when the cat got out of the bag and people started noticing, these are our veterans. These are most people who got these were veterans, and they got
artillery. Here's your hearing protection,
which should be the best hearing protection, not the worst. And instead, some company like 3M just throws these things together, and these people are suffering. They don't even know it.
So, I mean, talking to those kind of people who are veterans in that situation, or a young man that has an injury that keeps him from working, you know, at his regular job, people have this worst day. And then they probably don't think about it day one or day two, but they're in weeks out, their inability to earn, their inability to live their lives. They're sitting there at home thinking, do I have a case? What about that process? I mean, is it, will you take, like, just listen to people? Because I think some people are embarrassed. Like, I don't want to call Taylor Martino around. I don't want to call Eaton and have him go, what? What are you talking? You know?
No, absolutely. I will talk to anybody who wants to talk to me about anything, because people deserve to be listened to, number one.
If somebody even thinks, I don't have, have you had people come and go, I don't have a case, Eaton, but.
It's happened a lot. It's happened a lot more than even I would have thought, where they think, okay, I had a guy in the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of people whose business, one had a business and the other, their home, their brand new home flooded with sewage during Hurricane Sally. Ugh. And so while they weren't physically hurt, this was devastating. I mean, their entire house had a foot of sewage in it.
Ugh.
And my first thought was that just falls under the category of, you know what happens,
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
And but then when I started looking into it, I realized that it was a home that was made by a company that you've probably heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And their house sat at the very bottom of a hill, so that when the pump, the sewage pump, stopped working because the power went out,
we know what flows
downhill. And they should have had a very simple $30 device on their sewage line. It's called a backflow preventer or a backwater preventer that literally keeps stuff from coming back into your house and only lets
go out of your house one way. Yeah.
Right. $40.
And it wasn't there?
No, and it's required by code. So
you're probably talking to some other people who might have experienced that. They're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's why somebody might have thought that was just a blanky situation.
Right.
But in fact, there's a reason it happened to them, and it was.
Right.
So they need to call you.
All right.
Yeah. They need to talk to you.
Yeah.
They need to. So it's okay. Even if you think, like,
absolutely.
You'll let somebody know if it was just a bad day or actually they have a case.
My cell phone is on my business card.
Yeah.
I give my cell phone to everybody.
You live this stuff 24/7. We've met. I mean, these cases on your mind as you lay your head down, as you get up in the morning, on the weekends. This is what you're thinking about.
That's right. I have my what I call 4 a.m. thoughts.
Yes.
And my wife now has gotten to the point where she asks me, what's your 4 a.m. thought? Almost every day. And I do have one at least two or three times a week. And it's, you know, it's interesting. Because
Well, where's that thing? I mean, we probably don't even have time to get it. We'll do it in some other show. They say about the researchers, the reason you have those 4 a.m. thoughts, or I call them shower thoughts, is that you shut down part of your brain that was, you know, is resting, that keeps you breathing and all that stuff. It's just taken over there. And then it has room for these connections, you know, these eureka moments. And in this case, you're having those eureka moments for your clients.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. I'm not that smart, and I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but
I think that
God gives these thoughts to me. I really do. And I'm not trying to be hyper religious or anything, but I really do believe that God gives me these moments to kind of help me out, because he knows I'm not that smart. So.
Come on. You're very smart in helping out a lot of folks. So let's talk about this. The process of talking with you or any of the other attorneys at Taylor Martino Rowan, they get in touch with you, they get your card, they've got your cell phone, and you're going to tell them whether they have a case or not.
Pretty soon, I can tell within a short time whether or not I need to spend more time with them.
Right.
So, and there are times like I told you about the latter case where my initial thought is, this is not a case, but this person deserves to have somebody take a really close look at it because he's really in bad shape.
Yeah.
So I drive out to his house and I spend 2 hours with him. And it's not until I leave and get back to my office that I figure out.
Bingo,
the problem. And again, it's one of those situations where, you know, but I do spend an hour and a half to 2 hours with every person who I meet with.
Well, and that's, you know, one of these major differences between Taylor Martino Rowan and other groups and watching y'all over time, that it does take time to figure that out. That's not something that a 5 or 10 minute assessment of a case would do. Y'all, I mean, y'all are a quality, you know, over a quantity.
Yeah. To me, we're not McDonald's.
Right.
We are somebody who's going to serve somebody the best we can give them. And you can't do that unless you know the people that you're talking to. You get to know your clients. My clients call me. I have clients call me from 20, 30 years. I got a video yesterday from a client I represented 20 years ago.
Wow.
Playing the drums with the band Alabama.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It was cool. Yeah, but I mean, it was, you know, we're friends. My clients are my friends, but yeah. You will be a lot more vested or invested in a case if you really know the people and you really like them. And sometimes if you really know them and you don't like them, you're still invested because right. Everybody deserves, and everybody's different. And I don't judge people. I mean, I know that.
But what you're coming from you is it's personal relationship. It's not, I know this sounds cliche, but it's not a number. It's not a file case number. It's that human being.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, like I said, it's relationships.
Yeah.
My daughter asked me the other day, what's your favorite part of life? And I said, relationships.
And it's true.
It's, you know, this is such an opportunity. I don't see it. I really don't see being a lawyer as a burden. I love my job and I like meeting people. And even if I don't take the case, you know, like I helped somebody the other day who had a minor car wreck. And I said, look, you don't need a lawyer, but I'll help you negotiate it so you don't have to pay me or anybody else.
Right.
And then down the road, that person will refer somebody to me because they remembered I helped. And that happens.
It's relationships.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Time to build that relationship with Taylor Martino Rowan. As for this man, Eaton Barnard, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sean.
You can contact the Taylor Martino Rowan Law Firm at 251-433-3131 or search online Taylor Martino Rowan. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.